Well, this morning we're going to continue back into our teaching on the area of sanctification. And probably most of the time when you hear teaching along the areas of sanctification, most time people, it becomes a lot of, and it's not error from the standpoint, but lots of times it comes just to do's and don'ts. You know, do this and don't do that. Sanctification can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. You know, like I was born and raised, and sanctified meant you wore a certain type of clothing. You know, you weren't allowed to wear ties in the church that I grew up in. You weren't allowed to do that. That wasn't sanctified. You weren't sanctified if you did. And, you know, you had certain types of clothing that people wore and did things, and they determined. And I remember talking, and even with my father and different ones, you know, they would have their things of like, and what happens if you get, sanctification gets off wrong, what happens is this, is people start believing in salvation by works. And that's the great danger. And then we have the other side of the coin where they don't teach sanctification and people believe in salvation and you don't do anything, you just live like hell and whatever. Both sides are wrong. Both sides are wrong. So number one, living in sin will cause your faith to die. And after a while, you won't be in faith. You can't continue a life of sin without it destroying faith. There's no way you can't. The two of them don't work together, faith and sin. Sin is a faith destroyer. So the reason we stay away from sin is because we want to continue in faith. Then on the other side, you want good works, but you need to be careful. You're not saved by your works. Don't walk around patting yourself on the back. If you know how to do things and you've done things right, praise God. The only reason you would have a life where you would live right is because of God. It's the work of Jesus Christ in you. It was not by your great work. Hallelujah. So we need to draw the line between the two. Also, we want to talk about sanctification. And sanctification does have the fact of there's a lifestyle to be lived, a sanctified life. But we need to know what the Word says, not just about if there's certain things we shouldn't do. And, you know, Paul said all things to me are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And we need to understand that most people today think, well, all things are lawful. But there's one thing. Things that might be even lawful for you to do might hurt you. See, you got to know what. Here's one thing that the average Christian doesn't know. They don't know what they can stand in and what they can't. And they do things that hurt themselves. See, you know things. It's sort of like, you know, an alcoholic. It was good for an alcoholic not to hang out in a bar. Many Christians, you know, because somebody does something or something, well, then I can do this or I can do that. That isn't the way you live a Christian life. You got to know what you can deal with and what you can't. You got to know what isn't good for you to be around. You got to know concerning certain people. The Bible tells you to stay away from certain type of people. They don't tell you that, and you won't live a sanctified life if you don't. If you hang around with them folks, you're going to live as eventually their unsanctified ways will be part of your ways. They hurt us, especially from a Christian standpoint, from our Christian and Christians in living right. So we need to know, but it's finding out the greatest success that will help you in your life is knowing who and what you really are. Like I said last week, the Lord had spoke to me years ago and said about how His people live a lie. And He wasn't saying it to condemn. He was saying the fact they live a lie. He said they live like they're not sanctified. They live like they're not holy. They live like, because they don't know that they are. So they live in a manner that is not really what they actually are. So they're portraying to people that they're something less than what they are. You know, it's like walking around in all kind of rags. You know, it's like to me today is, you know, it's a sign of sort of people don't know who they are today. You know, you go out and spend more money for a pair of pants that have torn up legs on them than you do for the ones that have the whole leg. And you know, not people need to understand, but we need to understand these things. These things have an effect of you on your life. You live like you're something you're not. You live and, you know, why would people dress in manners that make them look like they're shabby and whatever else when they got money and they can have good? You know, that affects you. Well, I don't care what you think about. You think, well, it doesn't really hurt. Well, I can tell this, if you think that, you don't know much. It affects everything. If it don't matter much, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to go to heaven and find people walking around like that. Now, if it was just okay and done to do, well, heaven would have it. But see, we don't realize, see, we're a representation. You ever notice this about, and I've talked about this before, the president of the United States, you see the president, you know, I'm going to, you might hate any, you know, president, you might can't stand Biden, but you know what? Biden always looks presidential. It amazes me because Christians usually never look like Christians. Christians don't dress in manners and stuff to what they are. You know, we talk about being kings and priests. Do you really think would you want to be a king, and how do you want to live your life as a king? Do you want to appear as a king? How do you want to appear as? You see, we got there's a mentality and thinking. See, we have in America, we got this today, this casual, and it isn't, we don't see it. Much of it's demonic. I remember it used to be, as people prospered, they wanted to do better and live better and dress better, and they wanted to do all those things. Now we don't. We don't want to do that anymore. No. We want to look like we just, you know, we people walk around in hairstyles at one time. I mean, it wasn't even a hairstyle. I mean, today it ain't even hair. Why somebody would go somewhere to have somebody to do their hair the way some people's hair is all over the place? It's like, when you look at it, it looks like, dear Lord, you could just hang your head out the window of the car and get that. Why would you spend the money to do that? I mean, why would you, I put stuff in my hair and I'm trying to keep myself and have it all so it looks like it's unkept. What is about that? Don't people see? Now, hell will be full of that stuff. Hell's an unkept place. Heaven is not. See, we don't realize, it's because of a way of thinking that we have. See, we got to understand, we want to arrive at a certain point in our life and our spiritual walk, but we have thinking that's not good. Much of the world is in the lives of the average person. Today the world's thinking is through our society, and it's acceptable. You know, the most Christians, if you walked into most churches, well, God accepts people the way they are. No, He doesn't. You must be born again. Heaven will have nobody who stays the way they are. You won't find one person in heaven who has stayed the way they were. You won't find one of them there. There won't be one of them in heaven. Everybody got to get changed. Everybody must be born into the kingdom. You can't get into the kingdom of God any other way. You cannot get into heaven without birth. You can't do it. Well, see, this is the thing that people like. See, today we have in most people, we accept everything and everybody and every stuff. We just open ourselves up to it. That's not the way the kingdom of God is. See, when we're talking about sanctification cannot be opened up to everything. When we talked last week, we were talking about sanctification. If we would look at the types and shadows we have in the Old Testament of the priesthood, the priest couldn't do everything they wanted. They weren't like the rest of the people. The priest had to live a separated life compared to the people who weren't priests. They had a separated life. See, we go over, I mean, think about it. We go over, and this is one thing, is Jesus. I mean, Jesus came and lived a life when He was in the earth that was a separated life, is different. And you know what? Society had a hard time with Him. They had a hard time with Him because He lived a separated life. He didn't live a life like everybody else around Him. He didn't do that. And see, we need to, you know, we have a weakness in our society, and it's gotten into people where people have a weakness to that. We are, you know, we have a society that's very weak from the standpoint, we can't, especially from a Christian standpoint, we have to have constant some kind of affirmation from people. We got to have a constant patting and petting so I feel good. Everything that bothers me or gives me, I need somebody to pat, tell me I'm all right. But you're not, you can't find that. That's because the kingdom of God, you know, we're singing this morning about we're this people, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're a different nation of people. We have a lifestyle and a thing to live, but it's according not to the constitution of this nation or any nation. We live in a world that's full of nation. It has all kinds of different rules and regulations how you live in that nation. But there's no difference concerning Christianity. Christians don't get to live a certain way. Well, we can live this way in this nation over here. We can live like hell in this nation over here. We don't have to. This is what we do. We're more moved by our constitution and by the rules and the laws of nations, where that's not where it's at. It's following the Word of God. The Word of God is what sets us. That's our standard. You know, we want the healing from the Bible, but you're going to find us. Sanctification has a lot to do whether people will get healed or not. So Kenneth Hagin made the statement, and he said, you pastors... He made this statement. He said, you pastors need to know you're not going to get most of your people healed. See, people don't like to hear those kinds of things. People don't want to hear those things. There's requirements, but see, we don't want that. We want this thing of, you know, well, the Bible promises this and I just take it. But there's things that we need to understand. And the reason we're talking and teaching about sanctification, because to walk and follow the Word of God requires the power of God. You know, we talk about the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword, dividing sunder soul, spirit, joint, marrow. The Word of God is powerful. It has power in it to produce something. See, it's fun to sit down and go listen to the teaching about having a lot of success and all that stuff. But having a certain type and a way of life, that is no fun. So we do very little preaching on that. Yet, that's where our great weakness is. That's where the great weakness is at. And that's where we need more power than we do on the money side and on the health side. Because I don't know how much power you get over there. It will, you know, when you're a baby Christian, you might get some of it over there where it happens. But if you don't start moving in the areas of sanctification, that'll die out too. After a while, people can't get healed. They can't get things. I don't understand what's going on. Because it isn't about one subject. You can't learn to walk in health just studying healing all the time. There's other subjects in the Bible that have to do, that you have to learn to do and develop in to walk in health. You know, if you don't learn to walk in love, I'll tell you what, you're going to have trouble in the areas of healing. If you don't learn to walk in, there's things you must walk in. Sanctification. You know, living lives that is not sanctified will open the door to the devil. He will be allowed to attack you, and the devil and God can't do a thing about it. You can pray night and day, fast all you want. If certain things are not changed, it will not change. That's simple. It's that simple. You know, if you leave the front door open in your house and the back door open, I mean, don't be surprised there's a skunk maybe running around your house the next morning. I mean, don't be surprised. Why would you be surprised that something like that could happen? But that's the church world. The church world has this fantasy faith stuff that you can leave the doors open, and if you have certain beliefs, nothing's going to happen. I'm sorry. The devil will come. You leave the door open, the devil will come and visit. Oh, sure enough. He will show up. He will try to show up when you're doing right. So, but we need to understand, we're teaching on this area of sanctification because of this, and we're going to look at it. We look at the priesthood. We read last week, which we won't this week, the priesthood. We see it in the New Testament that we are in a priesthood. Now, this priesthood that we are in, we read from Peter, where Peter talked about the priesthood. And we were in 1 Peter, the second chapter. I'm going to read down through through this again, and then we're going to, there's some other things we want to talk about. He said, coming to him as to a living stone rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, coming to Jesus. That's what we did. We came, every one of us, if you're born again, you had a come to Jesus moment in your life, didn't you? You had a come to Jesus, and you did that. He said, you also as living stones are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're a priesthood, a spiritual house, and also we do spiritual sacrifices. He says, therefore it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which also they were appointed. But you, it says, this is the believer, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. Now we read this morning, we were singing, and they used it in from the King James, they used the word peculiar people. Actually, that word really doesn't mean peculiar, and they use it in the King James. And here they change it special people, but it really doesn't say that. Actually, that word actually has the idea of something that has been bought and paid for. Something that is of value that was really, was bought and paid for. And that's, you know, the Bible tells us we were bought with a price. See, you're a bought people. God bought you. You know, it's like going to the store. We go in the store and we might be looking to buy something and they might have 12 different types of a certain thing that we want to buy. And so we make a choice. We look over ones and decide. Now you think about this. This is God. We're this chosen one. We were specifically chosen and purchased by God. This is God's choice. You know, God must like us. He picked us. Hallelujah. He picked, you know, it wasn't something that came out and said, well, this is the only one we can get. They don't have any other things and I got to take this. You ever go into a store and have that? You needed something, but it wasn't what you wanted. But this is all I get. Well, that didn't happen with Jesus. That didn't happen. So, when Jesus did his wonderful work of salvation is because he chose to purchase man. This is what he chose to do. And so we're this chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're this people that were bought by God. He said that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said we became those things so we praise him. See, most people will praise God if everything's going good. Everything. See, people don't. See, we need to understand this. If we look in the Old Testament at the priesthood, you know what the priest did? The priest didn't get up in the morning and say, you know, I'll tell you what, I just don't feel like the showbread thing today and the incense. Let's not do that, you know, because things really went bad. I had a bad diet. And so, you know, I don't feel like just praising God today because, you know, I had a bad time. And so, you know, we were not going to offer the sacrifices ain't going out today. See, a real priest, a true priest, will do what is required. The priest does what's required. That's what's worship to God. Worship to God is not what you want to give him. Worship to God is what he asks for. See, we have this thing. You don't have... The kingdom of God is not our little piece of paper that they put in that glass thing down in Washington they think is so valuable. Oh, man, that thing is so valuable. We have to protect that. You wouldn't think they'd have a copy of the Bible in there if they wanted to protect something that was really valuable. I mean, if that thing is just valuable because it's a piece of paper, well, man, the Bible must be worth what the whole world. Well, actually, it is. But they don't think so. See, we need to understand the value when we turn around and look at the importance of that document. God doesn't sit down and ask you, how do you want to worship me? You know, he doesn't do that. This is one of the great false things of religion in America and in any place in nations. People have decided how they determine to worship God and what God wants, what they want to give God. I remember, you know, Kenneth Hagin in 1987, he had a almost 3 hour long vision where Jesus appeared to him and talked to him about the church and about what the church was doing. He talked about things that displeased him and things that the church not walking right. And that's where the book Plans, Purposes, and Pursuit came from, that book. And he also taught some series on that, which actually are better than just the book, because the book really doesn't cover the 2 3/4 hours of Jesus talking to him. He just did the highlights of the things. But one of the things Jesus talked to him, they used to have a lot of this going on of people clapping all the time. You know, people clapping, giving the Lord a praise, a clap offering. There is no such thing in the Bible as a clap offering. There is no such thing. God never asked for a clap offering. Never. Never asked for a clap offering. But people got over this that we do this, we give clap offerings. And the Lord told him about it. He talked about people and their clapping and all that stuff. He compared people's clapping to the fact that when people were, he said, you want to see the clapping? He said, he told Kenneth Hagin, he said, you walk down past and they go past the bars and they have these girls dancing up there and the guys are clapping and stuff. He said, they treat me like that. You see, you didn't walk into a king's court and clap and do all that kind of stuff. You went and showed reverence. You see, we have all this thing. And I remember this happened. We had a minister, this years ago. There was a minister, and actually he had ministered in our church years ago. But he said this guy made this statement. He made a statement, he didn't like what Kenneth Hagin said about the clapping thing. And he said, that's what I want to give God. And I just looked at him and I said, what does God want? I said, God never asked you to get interested in what you want to give him. You see, worship to God is what he calls worship, not what you call worship. It's what he requires. This is what we have a hard time with these things because we're Americans. And see, we're allowed to make up our own things and our own stuff. And it's hard for us dealing with some of these things because the Bible tells us what God wants, but this is what we want, this is what I want, this is what, and it's all based on this. This is what I enjoy. It isn't about what he enjoys, it's about what I enjoy. I want to turn worship into something I enjoy. We want God to show up with what we enjoy. I want God to show up. I don't care what I got to do. He tells me to crawl around the floor. If it gets him to show up, let's have him show up. Whatever. But we need to understand and learn to do this. What does God require of us? This is what the priest did. We found out he wants spiritual sacrifices. In other words, God is interested in our what's out of our heart. Now, but what's in our heart has to be in line with his word. You see, we have this idea, you know, people say, well, God will give you the desires of your heart. And what they think, everything I desire in my heart, he would do it. That's not what that's talking about. God will put his desires in your heart. That's what's going to work. You can believe God for anything you want, but if God hasn't told you you can do that or have that, you just go ahead and do whatever you want. You know, if a guy or a woman out here says, well, I want seven husbands or he wants seven wives. Well, you can go out here and believe God for all you want of it, but that wasn't God's plan. Just because you believe it, it's in your heart, that don't mean God's going to bring it to pass. I mean, it didn't work well for Solomon. I mean, he was a knucklehead. Smartest man in the world, became the biggest idiot that ever showed up. Cause why? You know, he got in the flesh. And what was in his underwear was more important than what God was doing. Guy ended up, we talk about the great temple they built, but they don't go talking about all the temples he ended up building to other gods for his wives. See, you can get a lot of stuff in your heart. And it ain't God. See, we need to understand. This is about the sanctified life, folks. But see, if we don't teach these things, people get off base and then they wonder why things... Because I'll tell you what, you get off base, the devil will love it. He'll help bring things to pass for you. I'll tell you, it's like Randall Greer says, God will make you rich if you'll keep the money away from God. He said, the devil will do it. He'll make you rich. Just keep the money away from God. Look at all the people who got great wealth today. You know, we talk about making money and all that kind of stuff. Well, the world got more of a handle on that than the church got. Well, are they serving God and getting rich? No. So that doesn't mean, see, you get over and weird. You can't look at an end result and you make things God because there's an certain end result. That's really stupid. But that's the church world today. The end result makes it God. I saw them, I learned that years ago. I learned that lesson from PTL. Everybody cheered the end result, but the end result wasn't God. Tried to tell people it wasn't God, and they said, oh yeah, it's God, it's God. Bigger's better. Well, it got bigger, but it wasn't getting better because of what they were doing. And see, people need to understand these. If you understand, you got to walk right, live right, hallelujah, and we want to do that. Now, we're looking at these things. We're this royal priesthood. We're a chosen. Just think about it. It would be good to meditate on these things about this. Not to make you big-headed, but to get you to understand who you are. You know? Over the years, Christians say, well, and they tell me, well, I'm just like everybody else. I'm not. The Bible doesn't tell me I'm like everybody else. When I got saved, the Bible never tells me I'm not like everybody else. I belong to a different nation. I belong to a nation of people. Not everybody belongs to this nation. Our nation has a covenant with God. No other nation does. This covenant, I can stand on this covenant and I can demand all that this covenant has in it. I have every right to it. No one else does if they're not in the nation. No one else has a right to it. Only the people in the nation. This is what's so crazy. This is, we know the perversion right now. America is a place of perverts and perversion because we have a nation where our Constitution, you can illegally come in the country, not put nothing into it, anything else, and they'll come and take care of you, let you come in illegally, do all this stuff. That's totally, I mean, God never set up any kind of system like that. That has never existed. It can't be God because He does not run His system in that manner. You can't illegally get into God's kingdom. Although the majority of the people in America call themselves Christians will be in hell because they believe you can illegally come into the kingdom of God in whatever way they choose. You can't cross the fence. You can't do none of that. None of that will work. You have to come in according to the covenant. You have to come in that manner. See, we don't have that. See, a lot of people don't look at this stuff as sanctification. But you can't live a sanctified life thinking crazy. You can't think like an American and have a sanctified life. You can't do it. America's full of nuttiness. It's full of craziness out here. It doesn't line up. The more I understand about God, I can see of what God would do. And I can look at other stuff that's going on and say, God would never do that in a country. He would never do this. It doesn't line up. This is what He does. You see, you have to know what the kingdom of God is. Most people and most Christians don't know what the kingdom of God is. They don't know its organization. They don't know how it operates. They just got this thing out there. The faith people just got this. Faith is everything. And I'm just believing God and they know nothing about the kingdom and how it functions and works. They ain't got a clue. Think because I've made some confessions and I just do something. It's a lot more than that. Thank God for the confession thing and all that. That's wonderful. But that ain't everything, dear God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not a lawless person. This lawless Christianity we have today, no rules and regulations. There's rules and regulations. Jesus taught the rules and regulations of the kingdom. And even told people that didn't follow it, they were going to in the place where there was going to be gnashing of teeth. You don't follow it, you don't get in. Now see, that's not a popular message, but I'm going to tell you, what do we think Jesus saved us from? Jesus saved you from the wrath of God. He didn't save you from the wrath of the devil. He didn't save you from the wrath of the devil. The devil don't pour out his wrath. God pours out his wrath. Well, I thought he loved everybody. He does. But he don't love like America calls love. His love is like the Bible. He has gone, and you know what? He'll reach out to man and reach out to man. But I'm going to tell you what, it's just like in the days of Noah. When the door shuts, it will be shut. There will be a day come. There will be a day that comes that nobody will ever get into the church again. The church age ends. There will be a day after that will come where God will give man opportunity till Jesus' second coming. And once Jesus' second coming happens, nobody else can get in. If they haven't come in, the door's closed. Everybody else is out. You see, that doesn't fit how we run things and how we think about things. No. Our preachers even preach, the average spirit-filled minister will preach that God always gives opportunity. I'm going to tell you, there's people today in this earth who will never have another chance. If God's already closed the door on them. If you don't believe that, you ain't ever read enough of the Bible to know much. There's people God will quit calling. There's people God. What did Jesus say about nations in the earth in the vision to Kenneth Hagin? Some nations have had their last call and they will not have another. America's having its last call. America's call, if something doesn't change quickly, America's call is going to end. Lord spoke to me on Friday morning. I was shaving, minding my own business. And he said, there's a judgment going to come. And this is the words he said. And I haven't talked to him about it yet because I almost don't want to know. You know, sometimes I don't know. Things just bother me. Some things I wish I'd. He said, and they're going to call to me and I will not answer them. That's what he said to me. I thought, what are you saying this to me for? I was doing good this morning. I heard that. I don't know. Church. He said, they're going to call, and I'm not going to answer. And I was thinking, Lord, should I ask you what the judgment is? I don't know. It's almost like, I don't want to know who. I don't know what this, you know what? I think if I ask him, he'll tell me. You know, people act like they don't want to know everything. I don't want to know. I'll tell you, I've had enough heartache watching what I wish I wouldn't have had to see ahead of time. I saw coming on people's lives. I wish I wouldn't have seen. I wish I wouldn't have known. There's things I know about people today. I know how they're going to die, what's going to happen. I know and I've known for years what their end is going to be. And it's like, I wish I wouldn't have seen that. I wish I wouldn't have known that. I wish I wouldn't have known. It always isn't fun to know. That's why God don't tell nosy people very much. I can be honest. I don't ask to know. I don't ask to know. I didn't ask anything about the Lord about that. But we now, it's with us. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're this people of God. Is getting that within yourself. This is what we are. We're called by God to give spiritual sacrifices. We're not bringing the lambs in. We're not doing all that kind of stuff. See, most people, and here's one of the things you need to understand. Sacrifice is not what most of the time in ministry has used. They use the word sacrifice for their, most ministers will use the word sacrifice to get you to give them something. That is not what sacrifice is about with God. Sacrifice isn't about you giving money. You need to give a sacrificial offering. What they mean by that, give something you didn't want to. I'm going to tell you what. See, they take those words and they twist them and they lie. And God hates it. God hates these preachers that do this stuff. You're never supposed to give out of compulsion. An offering, if you don't want to give it, and you gave it out because some preacher told you you had to do it, you were dumber than he was. I think some of these guys could end up in hell for what they do. Because all they do is feast the flock. It isn't about giving something sacrificial that you didn't want to give. You give what God requires of you. Let God talk to you. You know what? You're not some knucklehead. If God got to turn around and take you down and twist your arm to get you to do something right, let Him do it. It ain't the job of a preacher or somebody else. If He has to work on you on that, but you need to be able to give by faith. Because God's whole intent is our sacrifice. We sacrifice toward Him a spiritual thing. We do a thing by faith that He requires of us, not what somebody else requires of me, that He requires of me toward Him. I'm going to tell you what, just giving thanks, praising God, a sacrifice that God is looking for. I'm going to tell you what, it's just as big deal as any check to any ministry. Just as a big deal, maybe more. Because God gets a lot less of that than He does from some people money-wise. He gets a lot more money than He ever does gets praise and thanksgiving. And He only gets praise and thanksgiving from many people when they finally get something. And that isn't a sacrifice from the heart. You see, we need to understand that. Let God talk to you. You're a royal priesthood. The guy standing in front ain't the only guy in the royal priesthood category. You are. You're in the same holy nation. You're just as much God's people as He's God's people. And remember that about yourself. If the church sees who we are, we're all priests of God. There's not certain ones that are royal priests. There's not a person in ministry who has more authority in their life than you have. Nobody. You have authority. See, God will talk to you. It's what bears witness with you. See, God wants you always to operate in faith. That's what He wants to do. Not this compulsion stuff. Why? You're in the priesthood, you know? And operating. We do things. And operating by faith. Because we've been taken out of darkness. We're in marvelous light. He said, you once were not a people. But now what? The people of God. You're God's people. Who you hadn't obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. You're God's people. God is showing His mercy towards you. Hallelujah. You're a priesthood. Hallelujah. And that's what we read. They said, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Why do we want to stay away from these things? Because they war against your soul, your mind. Your mind gets warred against. Remember, you know, we're reading about, when we read about Lot. But see, he had a warring against his soul living down there in that place where those people were doing all that stuff. And that was warring against his soul. It says God knows how to deliver people. You know, I'll tell you, we have a lot of warring against the soul. We live in a nation that's trash today. America's a sewer. I mean, go down to Philadelphia, they're having a bike ride through the city. Naked bike ride through the city of Philadelphia. 10-mile bike ride. People can get on their bikes and ride naked through the city of Philadelphia. Yeah, but you do have to wear a mask. They told the people you have to wear a mask. Can you imagine the perversion? That becomes the thing, wearing a mask. Now you know the leaders of that city are demonic, demon-possessed people. There's no Christians doing that. People ain't going to be in heaven allowing that to go on in a city. Say, it don't matter if the Catholic Church, Biden can take communion 500,000 times a day and he's going to end up in hell if he does not get born again and change. And probably most of the priests that won't stand up against this stuff. They'll be there too. And lots of other preachers. I'm going to tell you what, hell ain't going to have just a few preachers. We need to understand that. People don't get to doing the weird things they do without listening to people tell them to do it. See, this is why we preach these things, because if people don't hear them, they can't walk in faith. You can't walk in faith. I can't do my own choices. I've learned that a long time ago. It's number one, I usually don't pick good choices. I like when the Bible picks them for me. It makes it a whole lot easier for me when the Bible picks my choices. Because it is just a lot simpler that way. Most people, all these people, I want to make my own choices. Oh, good. Go ahead. Live wrong. Because that's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. We find out what the Bible says, because it's one thing, as I've learned over the years, the choices that the Bible has made for me that I walk in and follow, and they bless my life. So we want to follow those. In verse 12, he said, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, what they observe you doing, they're saying it's evil, it's wrong. But in the day of visitation, they're going to see it's right. See, the church today needs to stop this stuff of trying to please the world and trying to do. We need to live godly and let them go ahead and say what they want. Because if we don't, there will not be a visitation. We don't get, because if we don't live right, there's no point of a visitation, because they don't have anything to look at to say, oh, that was right. They aren't interested in your message as much as what they, what you do. Your faith is fortified by your actions, not just your mouth. You make all the confessions you want and end up in nothing. Your actions are what fortifies your faith. We're living in a world where there's tribulation. The Bible says Jesus overcame. I want a move of God. Let's live and walk according to the Word. Now, I want you to say something. The people that you are, you're a glorious people. Just think the office that you stand in this earth. You're kings and priests. An absolutely phenomenal thing. Now, one of the things I want us to look at, because we want to go over some things that were said from the scriptural standpoint. Now, we talked about that kings and priests. Last week, I'm not going to go over and teach it again, from Melchizedek. And the fact that we're in the same priesthood that Jesus is in, the Melchizedek priesthood. That's why when Peter said we're a royal priesthood, he was right. We're kings, as Melchizedek was a king and also a priest. Jesus Christ is in the same thing. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, five times it is stated Jesus Christ is in the order of priesthood of Melchizedek. It's stated five times. The Bible says that by two or three witnesses let every word be established. Well, it's established five times. Hallelujah. So Jesus is in the Melchizedek priesthood. If you are born again and you're in Christ, then you have to be also. You have to be in the same royal priesthood, or a kingly priesthood, a priesthood of kings. So we have authority, as I said last week. You know, the church has mostly, and rightfully so, we've looked a lot from the authority side, but we look very little at the priesthood side. We look at very little over on the priesthood side. It's all about authority. But the whole thing of it is, I found this out. When the Lord spoke to me years ago and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to not much as a Christian. See, I had to learn. One of my big thing was, just wasn't about authority. It was learning about being in the presence of God. It was learning how to talk to God, how to walk with God. But that's what being led by the Spirit is. Led by the Spirit just isn't finding out some information about your authority, and you have the right for this and you have the right for that. We need to understand, we are called, just like the priests in the Bible, not everybody could go into the temple, inside the temple. None of the Jews went inside the temple except the priests. And in the holies of holies, only one, who was the high priest, could ever enter in there. And he only went in once a year. Think about that. One time in a year. One time, he got to go inside there, and he did it very cautiously. He had to go through all this ceremonial stuff, so washings and putting things on. And he had to be right, because if he wasn't, they tied a rope around his leg. When he went inside there, if he wasn't sanctified when he went in there, they drug his dead body out. Now think about this today because of us. We're this priesthood of God. As I said last week, God tells us, He said, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace. I mean, that would have had to blow the Jews' mind to think, what? Hold it, you can't do that. We didn't do that. But see, the average people in that group, we talked about it, because see, that group of priests in there, you had to be born into the priesthood to be able to do that. Just like we have to be born into the priesthood. You know, there's no other way to be a priest of God, to be born into it. See, somebody can make somebody a minister, make somebody a this, make somebody a that. You can say whatever you want over them. If they're not born of God, God never placed them in any of it. That's man's doing. That's man's doing. This is about God's doing. Every believer can come to the presence of God. Everyone who is born in, because while we're all priests, the priests can come in, they can handle the stuff in, they can handle the sacred things. See, when we don't, do you know the word of God is sacred? But not to most Christians, it's not even sacred, you know. We don't treat it like it's what it really is. This is God's words. It isn't just nice things. This is God's word. It's full of God's life and God's power. It's a hugely powerful thing. These are the holy and sacred things. It's a holy and sacred. We don't have the right mind. You know, and I will say this. I mean, if I went back years ago when I was a kid, they had a different approach about this stuff. See, people don't consider things sacred or holy much anymore. People just sort of do things however they feel to do them. You know, we come and go like we want, do things. We don't treat things in manners of what they are. If it wouldn't be for the Word of God, you'd never know His presence. You'd never know nothing. You'd be just totally ignorant. We know because we have that Word. We know the Holy Spirit's been put inside of us. Now, I want you to look at this because now the Apostle Paul, this is why he's dealing in the areas of sanctification. We must know who we are. You're not gonna live a sanctified life not knowing who you are. I want you to get a hold of this. The Apostle Paul, if we look at the letters that are written to churches, if we would take Paul's writings, the church he corrected the most was the Corinthian church. He dealt with them about sanctification more than any church. In fact, the majority of his letters to them were about sanctification. Most people don't even realize it. They read it and don't even know. They can't tell. He was trying to get them to live a right life. So in other words, the things he was teaching them, if they would listen to them and learn them, they would live sanctified lives. So he's trying to teach them something, and what he's teaching them is so they can live a certain lifestyle. This is what he wanted out of them. Because of their unsanctified life, he told them, he says, you know, many of you are weak and sick and die prematurely. It was their unsanctified lives. That's why that happened. It was their unsanctified lives. They weren't living right. They had the door open. The devil was able to come and attack them. He's trying to tell them. See, he's teaching sanctification. He's teaching them how to live lives of what they really are. And here's the important thing of this. God made us priests. But when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we know these scriptures, but I'm going to read them to you. It said, Paul wrote to him in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. He said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know this? Now listen to what he says. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Do you not know that you're the temple of God? Now think about this. We have in the Old Testament, we have the priesthood God set up. God has set up a temple. Now he makes a priesthood and there he makes a temple. And this is the most wild thing. The priest is the temple. I don't know if that does anything for you folks, but the priest now is the temple. The priest is where God lives. This is what God was looking for in the beginning. God was looking in the beginning. He said, don't you guys know this? Don't you know this? In other words, we want to see this because I'll read through it three times. He told these people about this. He had done this three times. Here he says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. He's talking about the temple. The temple of God, we won't look at certain things, but he's talking about the temple of God. That is your spirit. That's the place where God lives. Defiling the temple. Now people get over and make it all over the natural side. The reason people don't live right in the natural is because lots of times they don't know much spiritually. And it's number one, there's Christians out here who defile their inner man. They accept all kind of stuff and they accept all kind of teaching. It ain't right. They don't pay any attention to anything. They like sin. They love sin. They follow it. They listen to all this teaching. You can just live like you want. You're going to end up in heaven. It's all okay. Everything's good. That's defiling the temple. You need to know. See, we're the temple of God. My temple is God communes with my Holy Spirit. He with my spirit, not my body. God doesn't commune with my body. He ain't talking to my mind. He don't talk to my mind. He talks to my spirit. When the Lord spoke to me the other morning about judgment, he wouldn't talk to my mind. It was down here on the inside. I'm there minding my own business. And on the inside, all of a sudden, that came up on the inside of me. It's down on the inside. Why? That's where the Holy Spirit's at. I'm the temple of God. My spirit, your spirit, is the temple of God. And God lives in you. God is living in you. You need to understand this. Wherever you go and whatever you do, God is always with you. Whether you're doing good or doing evil, God is there with you when you're doing it. See, God, don't you know? See, the church at Corinth, why is he saying this? He is speaking to them because they don't know who they are. They are living. He talked to these people. They live like mere men. When he said mere men, he's talking about you live like the unbeliever. You live just like you're not saved. They don't know that they're temples of God. See, you need that revelation in you. It is, I can sit here and teach you this all I want, but it's got to become your revelation. You ain't going to have it because I'm telling you it. You're going to have it because you get believing it. Don't matter what I say. Look at all the people went and heard what Jesus said, and that same group is down there trying to kill him. See, you got to get this revelation for yourself. Paul's trying to tell these people. He makes this mention. Now, in same 1 Corinthians, you go to the 6th chapter, and Paul makes this statement. He goes on there and says to them in verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Now, he says your body. Why? Because your spirit's in your body. Their spirit is inside your body. But again, he's notifying them. The temple, you and I are temples of, he said, temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Don't matter what the Constitution of America says, you're not your own. You don't have all your own rights. You know, it's like most Christians ought to give up Christianity because they want their own. They want to live their own lives. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life was about giving up your life. That's what I did the night that I got saved. I told the Lord, I said, I followed the devil, did everything he wanted me to do, and I said, I was good at it. But I said, now I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. See, most people have never made a commitment to God in their life. They've never made it. They want Jesus as Savior, but they want their own life badly. They want their own life. No, I ruined mine. I don't want to do two in a row. I don't want to run two of them. This one here is a good one. I think we'll follow Jesus. I think this is going to be the best plan. We're going to do that. Then he tells us this. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Not just in your spirit, in your body. See, it's about sanctification he's talking about. See, you've got to know you're the temple. The reason, they're living like they're not the temple. They're living just, well, you know, you sin, you don't have to know. Hey, so-and-so, he's a big minister. He wrote a book and said, we don't have to repent. Well, my God. Well, surely he's God. He has a big ministry. He must be God. He's definitely a royal priesthood above us. I mean, my words, don't matter what the Bible says. What are we going to match to him? But person does something. Number one, it sounds good to the flesh. Live like you want. Now, The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Verse 16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people." Folks, that's great news. This is who you are. This is what you are. God is living in us. God said, this is the fulfillment. The new birth is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture that God said this was what's going to happen. I'm going to come and live in people and I'm going to walk in them. We're that people. We're the temple of God. This building here and whatever men can do and put, it's a nice place to meet. But this is not God's house. This is not God's house. I am God's house. You are God's house. God lives in us. See, now people have taken that like they haven't needed anybody else or anything else, and totally a 100% misconception of what the Bible even says. If I believe that I'm the temple of God, I am drawn more to the body, not away from it. To move, it means you ain't got a revelation if you think you're on your own. If you think it's just you and Jesus, forget it. You already missed the whole thing. You might as well go home. Don't even bother going to church or anything else. Ain't going to do you no good because you got squirrely thinking. It doesn't lead you to that. We're a house built together. We're a one body. See, if you yield to what the temple and the ones in you, it's not going to yield us apart from each other. But we're the temple of God. He said, I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. Now, I'm going to read it from Haggai, the 2nd chapter. I want to read this from the Old Testament because Scripture says, but I'm going to read from the Amplified because the Amplified Bible makes it a little bit clearer. I like what the Amplified has because of this, of us being the temple of God. Because this statement was made in Haggai, the 2nd chapter, and in verse 9, and I'm reading from the Amplified, it says, "The latter glory of this house, with its successor, to which Jesus came," this is what it says in the Amplified, "shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace and prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." Now that word there says peace and prosperity, if you look over in the Hebrew, it is the word shalom. Now the King James and different ones, they just say give peace. But you know, the word shalom does not mean just peace. The word shalom has the idea of peace, prosperity, and health. Well, see, that's what Jesus, you see, this temple, what was the Holy Ghost going to do in you, did Paul write about in Romans 8? Quicken and make alive your mortal bodies. You see, this temple, understand, do you know that sickness ain't allowed in the temple? Did you know that? It's not allowed? Did you know? Did you ever read the Old Testament? No priest could enter the temple if he was sick or lame or had any kind of body defect. He was not allowed to go to the presence of God. What was that about? See, that was a shadow and type of what to come. The priesthood is supposed to be healed. The priesthood is supposed to be well. Now, you go. This ain't about a guilt trip. But you see, this is when people talk around and say, well, healing's not for everybody. That's the biggest lie I was ever told on the face of the earth. Because those people know nothing about the Bible. We're the priest now. And the priest, Jesus died on that cross and was raised from the dead so you could be well, so you could be sound, so you could be prosperous. He became poor so you could be rich. He came so you could have peace, joy, and whatever else. That's why he came. That's why Jesus did what he did. And we're the priesthood. We qualify for it. The world doesn't. Nobody else does. It's only for the priesthood. See, the priesthood is to be well. See, that's why when people sit around, they get in their mind, well, maybe God has a reason for this. And, you know, God has it. I wonder what God had in mind because this happened. So if this happened, it had to be God. Well, they say God allowed it. Understand this God allowed stupid talk. This is what it means. God caused it. But they'll say God allowed it. God can, when you do dumb, God can't stop allowing you doing dumb and not getting the penalty. Because you reap what you sow. I have personally warned people over the years, numbers of times, about certain things, if they kept in a certain direction, what was going to happen, and it happened. God had nothing to do with allowing it. They allowed it. They did it. God was trying to warn them, the knuckleheads, and then they turn around and stupid people go, why did God let this happen? We got so much dumb religion, stupid religion, and it just clouds everything up and messes everything up. And we end up pointing the finger at God. What, we won't stop and say, you know what? They did dumb. And sometimes people do dumb and you can't fix it. Do you ever notice that? Sometimes you can pray for them dumb and you know what? You still can't fix it. I've had God on a number of occasions personally tell me, you can pray about this, but you ain't going to change it. Because they won't change. They won't change what they do. He can't stop it. You know, it's another one thing. Somebody's about, God has incredible mercy. Sometimes it just blows my mind. He has just incredible mercy. But you know, it will always come to the point where God will let it come to pass. And He has to. The dumb thing about it is people get away with it for so long because He's so merciful. Then when it falls apart, they're too dumb to figure out, but now it's what I've been doing. And they'll go repeat it again. Let me just throw this out there. I used to wonder over the years why certain things, and it seemed people became repeaters of certain things, and I used to wonder about what it was. It's almost like people couldn't break out of a cycle. There's certain things and certain things that people get into, and if they don't change within a certain period of time, they'll never break out of that cycle. They'll keep making that same mistake all the time. God showed me that concerning prophets and prophecy, where prophets keep giving false prophecies, and after a while they do it so often, after a while they can't quit doing it. And they'll just keep... they may have some stuff that's right, but they'll turn around and keep following that other spirit that they get hooked to. They end up just keep following. See, is it God? No, God ain't trying to cause none of it. God ain't making it happen. God gives people opportunity. But after a while, God can't stop a person from wanting to continue to do what they want. They have the free will. That's what free will is about. God can't force people. Oh, there's a day coming, He will. When Jesus steps back into this earth again on the Mount of Olives, says He's going to rule with a rod of iron. I will guarantee you then, if somebody says no, it's going to be it's going to be a different story in those days. But right now, you have free will, and you can make that free will whatever you like it to be. I'll tell you what, I lived a free will life that wasn't too good. And you want your will over with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this. There was a glory in the temple. When God first made the tabernacle, there was glory in that tabernacle. That tabernacle had glory. They had made this ark. And this is what you need to know about the ark. They have all these TV shows and all these guys running around looking for the ark because it has all this power. The ark has no power. The ark has no power. The power of the ark was the presence of God. And He done left the ark. He now lives in the temple, the people. And the place where the power is, which is never used, is in the believer. We are the ark of God. That's what we are. It's not in this place. Anyhow, they had that. There was a glory. When Solomon's temple came, there was a greater glory. So that was part of God's plan. God went through. You know, when you follow the plan of God, what God's doing, well, they turn around and when We look back at the temple of Zerubbabel after the return back from Babylon. When they came back from Babylon, they built another temple. And the people, here's the thing, the people, it's a wonderful picture in the Bible, but yet people still don't get it. The temple didn't look like much on the outside. And what happened was the people who were the priests before and the older people who knew what the temple was like, Solomon's temple, they wept and cried of what the temple looked like. And you know what God said? God said to Nehemiah, that temple has a greater glory than the one before. See, they were unspiritual people. They didn't know. It's like today, most of the church is unspiritual people. Even the ones that are born again are unspiritual people. They're looking around for some kind of glory and don't know the greatest glory is already living in them. It's a greater glory. Herod built a temple and that temple had a glory. But God built a temple. Hallelujah. And that temple is the greatest glory. If you're looking for glory, you don't know the Bible. That's the problem. See, the church doesn't know the Bible. We know scripture. We say, oh yes, I heard this scripture. No, we don't know that. If we knew that, we wouldn't be looking for things that we're looking for. We would already know the greater glory is already here. It's in me. The greater glory. This temple is the greatest glory that there ever was, is in this temple. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. See, these things got to be, we're trying to get new revelation. The church don't need new revelation. The church no longer knows the revelation that was taught in the past. We don't need new revelation. That's why Peter said, you know, I'm going to remind you guys of what I told you here in the past. I'm going to just keep reminding you. See, you need reminded. You need to go back over. You need to go back to these things. It's like, if I would sit today, well, the church today is the church of Corinth. They don't know who they are. The church in general is a carnal church. We look around and we think, man, this stuff out here is a mess. Most of the church don't. They don't think it's a mess. They're trying to make churches like this. They're trying to make more churches that are more like the world. That's what they're trying to do. People don't know the glory. Sanctification starts when one gets born again. First of all, a person must get a revelation of the new birth. Revelation comes first. See, revelation precedes action. People are trying to have action without revelation. And so this is what happens to people. People no longer try to live sanctified lives. They don't know nothing about it. They don't know nothing about the Word says. They have tried to turn over the new leaf. Christians are trying to turn over a new leaf. Christians are repenting all the time. The ones that do repent, they repent all the time, but nothing ever changes. Why? Because they don't have revelation to change. They don't have the power of the Word of God. Revelation grabs and gives you power. Revelation of this Bible, of the Word of God, gets a hold of you and gives you the power to change things. The Word of God is powerful. That's why these things must be preacher's power. Not just preaching, don't do this, don't do that. The church must know. Paul got the most carnal church that we know that he dealt with. And what's he doing? He's trying to bring them revelation of who they are. Don't you guys know this? He's telling them. Don't you see who you are? You're doing this stuff because you don't know who you are. Right now, that's what we're living in America. The America is full of dead churches with dead preachers standing around talking words, using nice scriptures with no revelation of who they are. And people live unchanged lives because they don't know who. It's not a revelation to them. God loves you. God wants you well. God, yeah, how does He do it? I ain't got a clue. I just want it. God will give me the desire of my heart. Well, did you ever get it? No. But we'll just keep walking around saying that scripture. What we need is revelation. That's what the Lord was showing. Lord was showing me, you want to change. What did Paul do to trying to reach this church? He brings the Word to them, who they are. He didn't come and tell them, you bunch of scoundrels, you ain't worth none of this. They weren't. But he didn't tell them that. He told them who they were. Because if you want change, you got to know who you are. We stand, the Church of Jesus Christ stands in the highest office in the world, but live like they're in the lowest office in the world. We act out in a low manner. We see ourselves in a very low manner. We see ourselves. We don't see ourselves. We don't see this. You and I, think about this. We're the temple of God. The temple was the place where these special group of guys went in to meet with God. On the half of all. They ran the nation. Not today. People can't even, Christians can't even run a household, much less a nation. Why? They don't know who they are. See, I found out years ago, I learned about ruling with my family. I learned how to take spiritual authority over things. I learned how to stop the devil from doing things. I learned how to take authority over stuff, over my kids. I learned how to do those kinds of things. Well, everybody running around screaming, carrying on, doing all kinds of stuff, trying to figure stuff out, trying to do everything, just like the world does. I learned that place spiritual authority. You have it there. If you can't do it in the home, you'll never do it to the nation. But we've been given. We're the ones, just the priests, they were the ones who were in the presence of God. They went into that place. They handled the sacred and the holy. God was moving for a people and a nation because they went in. They went there and doing what God said, not what the nation wanted, not what other people wanted, not this, not that. They went in. God had already set up the rules and requirements of sacrifice. They didn't go in there and say, you know what? I didn't want to give a lamb. No, they went in there. God required every day they had certain offerings, certain bull, they did it. You know what they did every day? They went in and offered that. This is what God required and asked of them to do. And that was their sacrifice to God. You see, we're going to come back to where there's going to be a group of people that rise up. God, when God showed me back years ago, back in 1990, concerning this valley, and he said it was a move of God. And he showed me this about Elijah. You've heard me preach it from Elijah. If you go over into 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, Elisha came out. When Elisha came out after the drought and stuff was going on, and they went up to Mount Carmel. There's an important thing that happened up there, Mount Carmel. When Elisha, he let the world go through their religious things. We could say today, that's the church. The church is doing its religious thing on the mountain. It's out there jumping around, praying, acting like it's doing something, acting like they're Christians, acting like they're doing their stuff. And what's Elijah doing? Elijah's waiting. Go ahead, do your thing. I'm going to tell you, the world's doing its thing. But I'm going to tell you what. There's going to be a church that God's going to call, and they're going to do their thing. And you know what their thing is? It's what Elijah did. Go ahead and read it. You know what it said? When did Elijah offer his sacrifice? He didn't offer it when he wanted to. At the time of the evening sacrifice, it says. See, every evening, every morning, and every evening, there was a sacrifice offered at the temple of God. God required. Well, did Elijah offer a sacrifice when he wanted to? He waited till the time God had prescribed. This is when you do it. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, it says, then he built his altar and he put the sacrifice. He took a bull and cut it up and laid it on that altar just like God had prescribed in the law. He did not go to God his way. He didn't offer. He didn't go there, you have to, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to offer two bulls. This is what I'm going to show God a really. I'm going to offer two bulls. He went to God. The evening sacrifice, God had already established what you do at that sacrifice. And you know what that sacrifice was for? It was for the nation. It was for the nation. The morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice God did, had Israel offer that for the nation. And God said to him, it was a sweet-smelling aroma. You and I would have smelt that flesh burning. We'd say, boy, did that stink terrible. That flesh burning. But God, you know why God thought it smelled so good? It's because what He prescribed. Man was doing what He asked for and not what they wanted to do. You want a move of God? The church got to stop doing its own thing and come back. Say, God, what do You want of us? What do You want? Hallelujah. And I will tell you, the day's coming. It's like the Lord showed me. There's a move of God coming. And He used Elijah. I'm going to tell you, we're going to come back to where, God, it's what You want. This is what it's going to be. Whereas, we're going to do what You want. Hallelujah. And there will be a move of God. And rain will come again. Hallelujah. Doing what God wants. Offering. Hallelujah. We're the priests. Hallelujah. We look in the Scriptures and find, what does God say He wants from us? What does He want? Let's give Him what He wants. Amen? Hallelujah. Not just giving men something that they want. What makes people happy. It isn't about what makes people happy in church. It's not what, what does God want? God will show up if He gets what He asked for. I will guarantee you, He will show up. He will manifest Himself. I've learned this over the years. You give God what He wants. In my personal life, God shows up if I give Him what He wants. It's what He desires. It's what He wants. Hallelujah. See, we each is individual people. Now, we are individuals in the church. What does God require? What are things, you know, there's things that God will talk to you personally about your life. Things He wants you to do. Things He wants, you know, not everybody's, I was called to teach and preach the Word. I was called to that. Not everybody's called to that, doing that. But those things that want. But see, you can't stay out of those things. You have to give Him what He requires. See, I can't expect God to honor me if I'm not going to honor Him. I can't expect that. And so we do, we find out, what does God want of me? What does He want me to do? What's He asking of me? I look in the Scriptures to find out, well, what does He want? See, a lot of people today, see, we live in a nation and even a church world. You know, I was reading it, how little generally that most of the church world, even people call themselves Christian, give, like, into the kingdom of God to do things. I mean, people are just, it's amazing how little people are doing or even a part of. See, they aren't interested in what God wants to do. But boy, when they have trouble, then they want people to pray. They will go call prayer chains. They go do all this nonsense running through. You know, God, You're supposed to jump when I need help. This is what You're supposed to do. See? Now, God, you know, I ain't going to have to do nothing. I just sort of sit back and lean back and relax and whatever God, you know, do. But see, it's people don't do that. They don't follow. They don't go to church. They don't listen to teaching. They don't do anything. But they want what God has. It's not going to work in that manner. It don't work. That isn't the principle. Jesus told us the principles how the kingdom works. Sowing the Word. You know, you don't get the Word in your heart. You know what happens? It don't produce nothing. The devil comes immediately and takes it away. Most of the people today, that's exactly what will happen to them immediately. The devil will come. You can tell him something. And the devil will come immediately and take it. And 2 weeks later, they don't even know they were even never told it. They have no heart. It takes desire for a person to grow. Jesus went to all these people, preached to multitudes. And here's what He says about the multitude. Jesus says, I speak to them in parables so they don't hear and don't understand. Why? He knows they ain't listening. He knows they ain't paying no attention to this thing. If they don't go after it themselves, He ain't giving free lunches. Well, what's all we do is teach Jesus His free lunch. Jesus does not cast pearls before swine. You know who the swine are? The swines are the ones who won't go after it for themselves. They're the swine. Jesus preached to mostly swine. He told the disciples, what was a disciple? A disciple was a follower of the Word. If they, his disciples, or his disciples, whether it was the 12 or the whole group, if they didn't understand what Jesus said, see, they were after the word. They would come and say to him, "What did you mean by that?" You know what the crowd does? "Well, that was stupid. That didn't make no sense. I'm going home. I don't know what all that was about." I'll tell you what, I read the Bible and I just don't seem to get anything out of it. I don't understand. I don't. And you know what? The Holy Spirit ain't going to reveal. He's not going to do it. See, we need to get a hold of these things, folks. Understand why people out here are. We need to start being honest with people. We need to stop this socialist gospel in the church that everybody gets everything. No, they don't. And no, they won't. There's things if you don't do, I don't care what you do, God will not give it to you. You will not have it. I learned that a long time ago. It ain't being mean. It's the system. He taught us how the system works. He teaches us. He teaches us what's required to get what we want. And the promise is, you do what the Word says and you get it. That's what it is. It's not hard to do. Isn't life like that? I don't know. Do you have somebody you just send to work in your place and then you get the check? Don't you call a prayer chain, they pray for you, and you don't have to go to work, but the company sends you a check? Huh. How come? Where's your faith? See, the Bible requires things. See, for prosperity, you know, for prosperity, giving money is not the key to prosperity. Giving money. Now, ministers like you believe that. Get money. We want to give money. But really, the Bible says, talks about prosperity has to do with the labor of your hand. You're doing something. Talks about other things to make you prosper. But see, people, we get one side of this one. If it's only writing checks, then I don't have to do very much. See, I just stay home. I know people tried that. I know people who have actually, they thought, they go, "Well, I'm giving, I don't want God ain't blessing me." I said, "We ain't working." "Well, the Bible says if I give, it's given unto me." I said, "Yeah, that's the only scripture in the Bible." I said, that's the only one. Yeah, yeah, that's gonna work. You just get that one and you'll be okay. That's scripture. But you know, it's popular. I mean, the Lord talked to me about that back in 2014, about how ministers do and how ministers con people into the thing, making the giving money is the biggie. And he said they're cheating people. Because what they need to do to prosper, he said, all they're giving ain't going to produce nothing for them. Because there's all these other things that the Bible requires. They're even having. It's just like walking in love. Walking in love is a lot higher level than giving out bucks. And you know what? Walking in love will require a whole lot more out of you. If you haven't noticed that, haven't you noticed that walking in love? Yeah, that'll put you to a test. Hallelujah. We're going to take communion this morning. Glory to God. And we really look at it as we are this morning, as we're going to have communion here together. We're the priesthood. Do you know these elements are only for the priesthood? These elements are not for people who are not in the priesthood. Now, one of the things that we can do, now we know concerning our children and things like that, we, in operating that, one thing as Paul wrote about it, he talked about because he says, he was talking about a husband and wife, you know, if one was saved, the other one wasn't, said, but your children are sanctified because of their. Now, it doesn't mean they're saved or born again, but they're sanctified. They're holy to God because they are sanctified because they're yours. They belong to you. See, the priesthood was set upon this, that the priest was only allowed to handle what was holy. See, if your children weren't holy, but they are. And this is why, as one of the things is, I've often told people, is having your children involved in the communion service because they learn from you. They learn from us. They're our children. We're teaching them in a way. Now, I went to church. You weren't allowed to do that if you weren't The kids weren't allowed to do that, that kind of thing. You know, they considered them unholy, I guess. I don't know. But, as understanding this, the communion table is about being holy. What we're handling here is something holy. We don't understand it. We want to talk about, that's why we'll teach more about the areas of praying, sanctifying your food. People don't understand what sanctification of food means. They don't even understand it. We just say a nice little thank you prayer. But we don't understand. Just as the priests set aside in the Old Testament, when they set aside things, food that they were given, they had the bread from the altar that was holy. They could eat it, nobody else could. What was set aside for them, there was offerings that were given, was for them. Part of that offering was for them to eat. Nobody else could eat it but them and their family. They're the only ones. See, those types come over to the New Testament. Sanctifying, setting your food apart to be holy. This is not some little thing that you think maybe you might want to do it and you don't want to do it. You better get thinking some. See, we don't think holy. We don't think as believers. We don't think as temples of God. We set a thing aside that may become holy. I can have my food is actually holy. Is it or is it not? Is it sanctified or ain't it? You see, we got to decide in these things. See, these elements here are not to be played with. They are not to be taken by people who are not sanctified, who are not holy. People need to watch it from the standpoint. If they ain't going to live right lives, and they're going to, the Christians ain't going to live right lives, and they're going to live wrong, this stuff becomes dangerous. What? Read the Church of Corinth. It was over the communion table that Paul told them that many died, preached maturely. We can say, we don't understand. This stuff is for the strength of the church. It's not given to us to scare us off. It's given us, this is a holy thing that we're a people of God and we're the only ones who're supposed to be doing this stuff. Why? Because we're separated to this. You're separated to this Jesus and His blood that this represents. You're separated to this. God lives in you. See, we're doing this thing. This is a holy thing. This is a very holy thing that we're doing. See, people need to get, the Christian needs to get that in their mind. We're not going through a ritual. This is not ritual. This is about life. This is about life, the life of God. It's the reminder. To me, it's sort of like Paul saying, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? Hallelujah. That's what this is about. And these elements are not for the sinner. They are not for the sinner. The sinners ain't supposed to have the holy things. You look in the Old Testament, what happened to people that messed with the holy things that they weren't supposed to? You know what happened to them? They died. We're priests of God, glory to God. We take communion, we're doing an absolutely holy, holy thing. Hallelujah. Something Jesus Christ set apart for the priesthood. Hallelujah. And you're priests of God. Just as those priests ate that showbread. Just as they ate that bread. Hallelujah. This is a representation to you. Bread is life. Hallelujah. You're partakers of life. Glory to God. You're partakers of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, just think about this. The blood. Where was the blood? The blood was taken into the holies of holies and it was put on the mercy seat. Where's the holies of holies today? It's in you. We're putting the blood on, folks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. We're gonna pray. Hallelujah. And then we'll have communion together. Lord God. Father, I just want to thank you. Father, we need more revelation and understanding in these areas. Lord God, of our being separated to you to fulfill your plans and purposes that Jesus Christ won for us. Hallelujah. Through his great death, burial, and resurrection. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God. I pray for each one today, Lord God, that the revelation that we are temples of God. Lord God, that in their spirits, Lord God, hallelujah, they become so conscious of the fact of the Holy Spirit living in them. Lord God, that they're so in tune with that Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord God, when the Holy Spirit is prompting them and the Holy Spirit's moving in them and speaking to them, I want you to thank you, Lord God, that they hear, they comprehend, they understand. I thank you, Lord God, that we're the children of light, and I thank you light comes to them in this age and time. Revelation from the Word of God comes to them quickly to understand and comprehend in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that they understand their separation from the world, but separated to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. That sickness and disease does not belong to them whatsoever. That at the communion table, as Lord Jesus, you told Kenneth E. Hagin in a vision, you said to him that the Christian should walk in health from the communion table. Hallelujah, Lord God, because we're one set apart to you, hallelujah, for health and soundness, because we're the priests of God. Glory to God. Sickness and disease is not for the priests of God. Hallelujah. Health and soundness in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Lord God, that these revelations flow to us freely in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Not just for our benefit, Lord God, so we can teach others, so we can help others, Lord God, to come to this wonderful, wonderful knowledge and revelation of the truth of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord God. Lord God, as we approach these elements, Lord God, we approach them in a very humble manner, Lord God. Lord, we realize we didn't die for anybody. We didn't, our blood wasn't shed for anyone. And Lord God, our salvation was completely out of our hands. We could have done nothing about it. And Lord God, we recognize by these elements and we exalt Jesus Christ because He is the one. If it wouldn't been for Him, Lord God, there was no salvation for us. And we thank you, Lord God. All that's been handed to us, the priesthood, Lord God, Lord, the kingship, hallelujah, the place of authority that we stand in, was given to us completely by the Lord Jesus Christ and His great work. And we look at that and we're honoring you, Jesus, as we take these elements today. Lord Jesus, the life that we have that works in us is because of you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our freedom from sin and the payment that was made that redeemed us was by your blood, Jesus Christ, that was shed. And we honor that today, and we take within ourselves the power and glory, hallelujah, and reminder again of that glory that has been given to us in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.